So obviously, PD-L1 testing has become a critical part of management of non-small cell. Can you talk about some of the assays that have been utilized in this regard?
So I think over the past few years, we've seen all of these immunotherapies developed. We've seen each company develop a drug and develop their own companion biomarker with a different PD-L1 assay. So nivolumab had the 288 assay, pembrolizumab had the 22C3 assay, atezolizumab used SP142. And so you see that they're all different antibodies, and they also use different scoring systems. And the data to date have been in different patients. So it's all been a kind of a mishmash of things. And what people have really been looking for is an opportunity to compare these different antibodies and these different approaches. And there's been some recent data looking at the comparison of these. So I think as we decide which patients are PD-L1 low, medium, or high, or no PD-L1, some expression, or high PD-L1 expressors, we have to recognize that there may be some variety in patients, whether you're biopsying multiple different sites, is there heterogeneity, and does this change over time? So that if you have PD-L1 positive at baseline, is it always PD-L1 positive? Or in converse, does it go from PD-L1 negative at diagnosis? They go through a couple lines of chemotherapy, do they become PD-L1 positive? So we have only a little bit of data looking at this type of question, looking at two different time points, so primary tumor and metastatic tumor. And you see that for the majority of patients, they were both negative. But you also see some patients that went from positive to negative and some that went from positive to positive. And so there is a possibility that these numbers will change over time. You see patients that are metachronous, so these are two different pieces of tissue obtained at different time points, and you see that they're generally the same, though there's some slight changes. And then the final little bit, looking at a total of 57 tumors, and this is particularly in patients with EGFR mutations, pre and post EGFR TKI, you see that 72% didn't have a change in their PD-L1 status, though there were some patients that went from negative to positive, and similarly some that went from positive to negative. So I think this remains a wild west in terms of understanding this. I think the general takeaway from all of the PD-L1 data is that it's probably stable, and there's not a lot of role for rebiopsy for PD-L1 status on a routine basis, though we can sometimes consider it. And it's not particularly easy to sort out all this data here, but I would say that when we look at using archival tissue in the available clinical trial data for the second line, it doesn't seem to make a big difference in terms of what proportion of patients' tumor proportion score high or low, whether you got it from just before starting second line or at diagnosis. And it also doesn't seem to make a difference in terms of response rate as to whether you got the positive or negative result and when you got that positive or negative result. David Rimm did this paper in JAMA Oncology where he sat down with a whole bunch of lung cancer tumors and these four different immunohistochemistry assays for PD-L1, 288, 22C3, SP142, and SP263, and decided to compare them head to head. The 22C3, 288, and E1L3N all looked very similar. The broader assay looks at the mean tumor proportion score for all the antibodies in all the tumors. Three of them really cluster together relatively nicely. The 22C3, the 288, and the E1L3N all cluster together nicely. It's just this one SP142 that seems to be the outlier. And similarly, you see that using the cut point of 50% or 1%, that the SP142 is the clear outlier in terms of identifying tumors that are PD-L1 positive at the 1% cutoff. And similarly, for the 50% cutoff, it's just a lot lower hit rate for the SP142 assay.
Is that most likely because of the antibody?
It's probably because of the antibody and maybe some other characteristic of the test, but I think my takeaway message from this is if a lab is setting up a PD-L1 assay, it's probably not a lot of value to set up the SP142 assay, and probably most labs are setting up the 22C3 antibody.
I guess for practical purposes right now, it's the TPS that really is affecting clinical decision-making.
That's right. And the first line data that's mostly driving clinical decision making is all about pembrolizumab and the 22C3 antibody test.